This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in Houston as we continue to do our best to entertain you and give you some levity and entertainment as you deal with everything that we've got going on right now with the coronavirus. By the way, Barry, you mentioned Don Lemon. He was talking to Chris Cuomo the other night when Chris Cuomo was kind of pouring it out there that he's got the virus and he's dealing with it and they're going through all these things. And much like us, they like to shoot it back and forth at each other a lot. You know, they shoot the crap and they give each other a hard time. But is it appropriate on CNN, on national TV, when you go, when he goes, "Hey, Chris, did you get the gift I sent you?" And he's like, "Yeah, no, I don't know. And since I'm in the basement, I don't know if my wife got it or not." And he's like, "Oh, it was a six-pack of Corona." I was like, "Come on, Don. Really?"
I don't think it's offensive. I just think it's lame.
It was, well, yeah.
Lame! Yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
I mean, look, okay. I'm making Corona jokes every Sunday night on TV and, you know, some here on the radio. So I'm not gonna say I'm above making coronavirus jokes, but it just,
but I'm like on CNN when everybody's really dialing in to get, you know, they're, because they're all concerned and they want to know what's going on. And obviously Cuomo's got a lot of followers that are concerned about his health and well-being, and then, you know, he starts out
right
with
in the middle
that
of it.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, bro. I mean, at least let the guy have a couple of days where he's getting through some
right
stuff. And by the way,
I know he was pretty upset.
No, he actually chuckled it off, and I guess they live right near each other, and they're good friends, and they do.
No, I'm saying he was upset that he got the coronavirus. Cuomo, Chris Cuomo.
Yeah, yeah. But did you see that too? So then I told you guys, and it's hilarious. Lisa got, she said there was more of it today, where the two brothers, the governor of New York and Chris Cuomo, his brother, were going back and forth again, and they trade barbs, and you know they go through. And I forget what Cuomo's show is called. It's like Cuomo Confidential or something like that. And so Chris takes a shot at his brother and he goes, "Yeah, that's real cute, Chris. I mean, you've got the Cuomo Confidential, which is an hour. I got the Cuomo Confidential, which is 24/7 until I get rid of all this." But evidently the governor did a press conference yesterday in a golf shirt. And there was a massive discussion about whether he had nipple rings or not because of what the way it was protruding from his golf shirt. His ex-girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend finally had to go, "Okay, I've seen enough. I'm going to put it to bed once and for all. He does not have nipple rings."
Oh, how awesome would that be if your governor had nipple rings?
Yeah, that's just,
man.
And he was for Joe Exotic getting out of prison. That would be really funny because that would be like a Joe Exotic branded nipple ring.
And then like, remember that one chick that was a singer and she had the chain that went from her ear to her nose and then to her wallet? I don't know where the other one went. It was like a weird.
Do you know? I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, Nick, you're gonna have no idea.
No, it's Nick's. She had one hit. It was like "Don't Fall in Love." I remember exactly what you're talking about. Something Wilder, I think. I'll look it up. "Don't Want to Fall in Love," I think, was the name of the song.
Was it, I don't know, Jane Child?
Yep.
That wasn't it, was it?
Exactly who it was. Yep. Actually, the song wasn't bad back in the day, but Jane Child had the earring to her, with the chain to her nose.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that, Nick?
Oh, I just looked it up. Yeah, I think I
did. Google Jane Child.
Yep.
Kind of weird.
It is, yeah. I would never.
And then she had a third one.
Like that.
You don't see it in the pictures, but from it goes from her ear to her wallet, and then from her wallet to her keys on the other side of her pocket. So it's crazy, like,
stop it.
All these, yeah. That would be cool, though, if your governor had that, right? He had just like two nipples pierced and then a chain that connected them.
I mean,
and when his shirt was off,
it would be crazy, right? Because I've thought about that before, because like Cory Booker, when he was running for president, you think about all the different things that
he's got
the White House
rings?
Has never seen before. No, Cory Booker is single. So, like, I've asked Lisa before. I'm like, so Cory Booker's single. If he wins, there is no first lady, but maybe there's first ladies because maybe he's rolling through and, you know, he's got date
first
night.
Side piece.
He's yeah, he's got some chicks rolling through the White House. You know, that's a
the
big,
first
that's a
side
big kinda,
piece. Oh, God.
Kind of, you know, aphrodisiac to go, hey, babe, you want to, after dinner tonight, you want to go to the White House with me? Let me show you the Oval Office.
It would be totally unheard of for politicians to use their office for sex. No one's ever
but
done
I'm just
that.
Saying it's weird, just like Cuomo, I don't believe is married. So basically, what if you find out people are going to be offended he's got nipple rings? Well, maybe in the governor's mansion he's got a dungeon too. You don't know.
Listen, at some point in our country's history, there is going to be a president with a neck tattoo. Just the way our society is going, there's going to be a president that has a neck tattoo.
You know what?
Because
in
it's
the
just
past,
becoming
I would
so
say
commonplace.
Absolutely not, but you're absolutely right. Based on the times we're in right now, there's no doubt that I would agree with you at some point.
Now, you got to be a little nervous if your president has a tattoo tear. That's when you're like, okay, our president has killed a man and probably in prison. So you got to be a little more worried about that. But neck tattoos are nothing because it might just say like freedom or something on it. That's not
if he's got a zoo or a septic tank. If they can't prove it, he could still be your president. It'd be fine.
Did you see some of the stuff that's coming out now? Joe Exotic said he wants Brad Pitt to play him in the Tiger King film. Or he said – this is crazy. He said either Brad Pitt or Joe Dirt. He doesn't say David Spade. He calls him Joe Dirt. He doesn't even know his name. He just says Brad Pitt or Joe Dirt. How awesome is that?
He gets he's just too funny, dude. Like I said, he's TV gold. I mean, even regardless of what you think of him, he's going to make you pay attention to him. He's going to say something so off the wall, and he's going to make you pay attention.
You're absolutely right.
Who do you think would make a good Tiger King, though, like legitimately? If an actor was going to play the Tiger King, who would it be? Who would look like him?
I think David Spade's a pretty good call. If Dr. Dre's not available for stunts, he could fill in too. But I do. I think David Spade would be the guy.
No. Legit actor, not doctor, just because you have a grudge against Dr. Dre. I'm going to say Nicolas Cage. I'm going to say if you put a blonde wig on Nicolas Cage and gave him that's not really a goatee. I don't know what that mustache thing is that he's got going. But if you did that to Nicolas Cage, I think he would be the Tiger King.
He's definitely got the talent, for sure.
He doesn't have but he's too tall, I think. Nicolas Cage.
Who, Nicolas Cage? The Tiger King is tall. He's tall and skinny.
I don't know I figured he's about, I don't know how tall he is.
What about the guy from, since he's tall and skinny, what about the guy from Big Bang Theory that was Sheldon? Just kidding.
He's actually gay,
Golly.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
He's what?
He's actually gay,
I also
think.
Said it. Yeah. I think Nicolas Cage would make a good Tiger King, though.
Which guy?
I think he would look like him.
From
you didn't know Sheldon?
The guy,
yeah.
No, he's
Sheldon
from here, right?
He's actually gay in real life. Yeah, he's from
here.
Yeah.
He's a big Rockets fan. He's one of Daryl Morey's buddies, yeah.
All that we know. Nick's point was he's gay in real life.
Okay.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. I kind of suspected it. I didn't know that he ever admitted that. But
Jim Carrey. How about Jim Carrey?
No. Ooh, somebody texted Danny McBride. Holy shnikes.
Who's Danny McBride?
Danny McBride wins. He would definitely be the Tiger King. He would have to lose some weight for the role, though. He would have to skinny up a little bit.
But he definitely could play that role, yeah. I have to look him up, but yeah, he's funny.
Because he's crazy like that.
Yeah, I looked him up, too.
Right?
I think James Franco would be. Robin Williams, if he was still alive, what about him?
No.
No. Ooh, somebody else said Dax Shepard. Google Dax Shepard. D-A-X.
Yeah, no, I know who Dax Shepard is. That's a good call. Sonny Not Bono bad. Back in the day could pull it off.
Joel, you're going to have to stop making 1950s references.
Okay.
Nobody knows Sonny Bono. He's not even in Google. That's how old he is.
He was married to Cher. Okay. He was a politician
somebody said
after.
Mickey Rourke. Dude, Mickey Rourke is too plastic. Mickey Rourke would play the Joe guy, the one that stole the zoo from him. What's that guy's name? Joe?
Jeff.
Not Joe.
Jeff.
Jeff Lowe.
Jeff Lowe, I think.
Yeah,
that'd be
Mickey Rourke would play Jeff Lowe. But I think Danny McBride or Nicolas Cage would be a good Tiger King.
Okay.
Certainly not Brad Pitt. Don't flatter yourself, uh-uh. Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic, just that voice alone, though, that to have someone have to work on that voice, it's just so annoying. But it's amazing to me. He's doing 22 years, and he's probably going to end up making some coin off of all of this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Speaking of Joe Exotic, did you guys see a girl takes to TikTok, one of those new social media platforms,
yep.
claims that she's Don Lewis's granddaughter. Her name is, I believe, Tiffany Lewis. And she thanks Joe Exotic for the murder for hire plot. Did you guys see that? It sounded pretty interesting. Did you see it?
I did not.
No.
Here, this is what it sounded like.
If you're watching this, it's because you've watched Tiger King. I should probably tell you who the hell I am. My name's Tiffany Lewis. I'm Don Lewis's granddaughter. He was the one that was allegedly murdered by Carol Baskin. First and foremost, I do want to thank the producers for shedding some light on this horrible situation. I haven't heard his voice in over 20 years, and just hearing it was a blessing, so thank you for that. I also want to thank my aunts and grandmother for standing up and talking about this situation. I know how hard it can be because it's still very fresh to my family. Now, what I want to know is, what do you guys think? Do you guys think that she murdered my grandfather? Or do you think he ran away with none of his money? Like, who the fuck would do that? He's a fucking millionaire. If you had $7 million, would you leave it? I sure shit wouldn't. I also want to thank Joe Exotic for trying to do what he tried to do. Let me know if I can answer some questions.
Wow.
She
just straight up said, damn. She just straight up said, thanks for trying to kill Carol.
Really? Seriously?
Carol killed
yeah.
our grandfather and Epstein. Wow.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That's wild. Yeah, but I mean, her point about the $7 million is really valid. If you're gonna escape to Costa Rica to get away, you're not leaving all your money behind. You're going to transfer it into an offshore account, and you're going to,
you're going to have ways to, right, launder it to yourself wherever your destination is. Absolutely. But, I mean, look, it was a complete and total screw job, too, the way Carol got all the money and just completely shut out the family. It just was filthy. It was filthy overall.
Dirty whore. Allegedly.
Didn't go that far. But okay. Hey, yeah, we got plenty more to go in the show. If you guys want to join us, we've got room for you. 713-780-3776. We are taking calls. Of course, text messages on the HRNP listener line. And of course, we respond to tweets throughout the show and otherwise, at least when Barry and I aren't communicating with one another. And also, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing, because they are here for you. With all the things going on these days, maybe you got a lot of time at the house and you're looking around and you're like, geez, this roof looks terrible. We've got a leak here or something going on there. Well, I'm here to tell you, Fitz Roofing right now is doing not only free inspections, but they're actually going to do free repair work on some of the minor repairs that need to be done by families across Houston while everybody's going through this entire ordeal with the coronavirus. All you got to do is get in contact with them. Best thing to do is call them, 832-521-3001. You can also get on FITZroofing.com. But if you call them at 832-521-3001, you can set up a free no-obligation inspection. They're going to come to you, tell you what they can do, and if they can do it quickly, rather simply, they're going to do it for you right now because they want to show their dedication to the good people of Houston. It's just good people making a difference, and that's what Fitz Roofing does. So keep it in mind. If you have something you need to be done to your roof, get that free no-obligation inspection today. 832-521-3001. Check them out. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through another fun episode of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, almost to the midway point, as we have Nick, Barry, and myself, Joel, taking you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Some sports stuff, fellas. I know we're all not big fans of the Patriots, but did you see what Robert Kraft did with his airplane?
Yes, that was pretty badass.
No, what did he do?
Yes, so pretty decent gesture here by the Kraft family, as the Patriots team plane flew to China, picked up 1.2 million masks, and flew them back to the United States for use here in dealing with the coronavirus. And they said they had to be in and out in less than 3 hours. No one could leave the plane once it landed in China. And as soon as it was loaded up, they turned right back around to fly back to the United States.
Very cool. And very, yeah, very cool.
Well thought out plan, too, with the way they did it.
Agreed. Because, again, the stories that you're hearing, and again, with those press conferences, they even call them out on it. And I said it to Lisa right away. When China started bragging about the fact that their numbers were way down and deaths were way down with the virus, how do we know? Because they can fudge all those numbers. And especially since Trump was calling it the China virus, they were so offended by that and they were so embarrassed by that. I was like, well, the numbers are going down in China immediately, regardless of what they actually are or not, because they're not a democracy. They're going to just tell you what they want you to hear.
Right.
And so you don't know. So you do. Obviously, you want to get in and out as quick as you can right now.
Yeah, I think it's great. They, you know, because I'm sure it was not cheap to do that either. And so props to him, props to the organization. I would love to see more owners follow suit and do that. If you think about that, if just every NFL owner did something similar, just think about how many masks they would put into circulation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, all hands on deck. If anybody can do something mm-hmm. like that and you have the means to do it, now is the time.
I'm going to tell you something that was pretty disheartening for me, and this is – I don't want to get – you guys know I like to keep it light and fluffy and have some fun. But something pretty serious happened yesterday that made it kind of real for me. I was talking to a friend of mine who – and I'm not going to mention names or anything, but a friend of mine who is an older gentleman. And, you know, he hasn't been out of the house or anything in a long time. And he basically just told me, he said, "Hey, man, I'm old and this could get me. And so if something happens, just know that you've been a great friend. And, you know, I love you and thank you for your friendship." And when you hear someone tell you goodbye just in case, that really makes it real.
Man, that
and
is.
That was heartbreaking for me because I was like, you know, I'm young and young enough, but I can't imagine what people in their late 60s, 70s, or 80s are going through, the ones that don't have it yet, that are staying quarantined.
Well, let me tell you, if speaking from experience, it's very scary.
Yeah. Well, see, I didn't want to ask you what is it like, Joel, being elderly and fearing this. But no, it that made it very real for me.
Aside from discounts at HEB right now, my biggest problem is just the fact that every day you wake up and the Luby's first thing you do is like a self-check and you're worried about the fact that you might have it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But yeah,
I mean, all kidding aside, that would be man, that'd be a gut punch right there.
That was a tough conversation to have. I'm not going to lie. That was a very tough conversation to have and have to listen to. And then, you know, I wasn't expecting it. And how do you respond? And what do you say? And, man, I just said, "Love you too, buddy. And, you know, you're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. And everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it." But, damn.
I would have been there so were people thrown that off are, by that.
No doubt.
Yeah, and there are people that are having those conversations. I mean, when you think about it, if they're lucky they have those conversations, there's people that their loved ones get it, they're not allowed to be around them again. So their last words may have been, "I'll see you tomorrow," and that's it.
So but also just, think man. About the most important times that you want people around you. Your wedding.
Yep.
If you're in the hospital, if you're giving birth, and then, of course, funerals. And all of those right now are deemed as stay away. And all these hospitals and places, now it's gotten to the point where it's not even hospitals. Now they're telling you at Costco and HEB, your whole family can't go grocery shopping anymore. You can only have a limit of 2 people per cart because they're so worried about it. But the fact that, to Barry's point, loved ones are trying to communicate with their elderly relatives in nursing homes through windows. People that are giving birth to babies, the husband is the only one. You're only allowed one person in your room, let alone in the delivery room. That's it. It's just, it's a different time. And it's crazy how much, the fact that I've had so many people on Facebook talk about having to go to someone's funeral virtually by watching it on a Facebook Live is just crazy. And I told you about my friend Erica Young from Channel 2 about the fact that her grandma passed in Louisiana, and because of the restrictions, she's not allowed to go. How about this, guys? 3 days later, her other grandma passes away in Louisiana.
Oh, no.
That's just so sad. Lord, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy times we're living in, but sad when you're having families deal with stuff like that. So be thankful, stay healthy, and keep doing, practicing what you need to practice so that we all stay healthy.
And you know what? If you have friends that are, well, let me hold on. If you have friends that are elderly, call them.
Good point, too.
Just call them and say,
communicate how you can. Use the means that you can have. Yep. You okay?
Okay. No, that was it. I just wanted to say, that was the last thing I wanted to say.
Okay, first half of the show is behind us. Second half still to come, as we still have plenty more to get to. It's the usual suspects on a Thursday, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, what the hell?
Ain't this some sh**?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show on ESPN 97.5. Barry, did you see those Jordan 11s that I sent you that are coming out? Oh, that's right. It didn't probably go through because you blocked me.
Are you talking about the Breds or the Blue Concords?
The Blue Concords.
Those are for women.
I saw that. I didn't realize that at the time, but now that you've blocked me, I think it's fitting that those were for women.
Like, I'm not up on what's coming out. Come on, player, you got to do better than that.
It wasn't. See, that's where your misconceptions hurt the relationships within the show, because you think that way. When all I was doing was throwing it your way to say maybe you hadn't seen these yet. What are your thoughts? Especially because I know how much you like blue on your shoes and blue as a color. So there.
Oh, my bad. My bad. I do like those black and they're calling them. What are they calling them? Bread, white bread?
The Breds,
no, not white bread.
Well, you can't. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Not calling them white breads. That wouldn't be right. But they're calling them. They're calling them white breads. That's right.
That I like
right.
those. Yep.
I
did. I like those.
I kind of dig it. I don't. I've never been a fan of the Jordan 11 low, but I kind of dig those in a low. I like that. And I wish that the blue was available for dudes, not just chicks. You think they make them in big enough size for dudes?
Well, just go up a size and a half. If you go up a size and a half, they'll fit you. There you go.
I hate you.
It'll work for you.
I hate you.
James Feimster said, here, how about some sports? We already talked about the Patriots
James,
playing.
James, you're not a producer, bro.
Yeah, seriously. He wanted to talk about the fact that there's a basketball story out there with a family that we've already basically banned mentioning on this show. So thanks for the effort, but we're good.
Yeah, it's about the LaMelo Ball in Australia. No one cares about either of those topics. No one cares about Australia. No one cares about LaMelo Ball.
Well, I'll tell you this.
If someone says talk sports, it makes me want to go two more segments of non-sports just when they say it.
I know, and I know that it does, and that's why I threw it your way. But I will say this. The one thing that's actually scary to me is that one of the ESPN draft experts honestly believes that LaMelo Ball should be the number one overall pick in this year's draft. And I can't see it. I mean, not only just because of the fact that the dad is going to be a pain in your ass. Obviously, one of the three brothers has panned out to be okay, but if you go and redid that draft, he never would have been drafted that high as the second pick in the draft. And when you had Jason Tatum and other guys that have panned out better. But I just don't – I know the kid fixed his jump shot too, but he doesn't impress me to say that he should be the number one overall pick in this draft. It's a pretty decent draft.
I was going to say you would know better than I. Who is better than him?
So
who would you draft ahead of him?
So there's the kid that got was planned for Memphis, and that Wiseman, that's a 7-footer. That was the kid going to Memphis with Penny Hardaway, and then because Penny went before he was the coach, paid to have the kid's family moving van or something like that. James Wiseman is going to be a top three pick. The kid from there's a one and done at Georgia kid that plays the wing that's really spectacular. Obviously, that's going to be a top two pick.
Obviously, Cockburn's on the list.
I'm not going to get into all that. Other than that, he's a top five center in the Big Ten according to Andy Katz.
I just wanted to say it again.
I know you did.
You got
it. I know. Yeah. So, but no, there's plenty of guys that are going to be considered for being top five picks. And not to say that Ball isn't going to be a top five pick, but man, just the whole, even when we saw, remember how many times we made fun of him when people would send us highlight tapes of him playing overseas? And it was just like, you know, gunning from all over, doesn't care how many shots he missed, AAU tournaments where he was just missing everything but pulling everything. I'm like, that stuck in my head to go, I don't know if that kid is ready to be an NBA player yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think you do a better job of understanding who's available ahead of him, but I could see him if, you know, like we've argued about in the past, drafts don't get that deep after – you know, a certain point, and I'll just leave it at that because we argue about what that point is. But I can see him if he's got enough skills and enough potential, and especially based on how his brother has turned around his career, I can see him going in the top 10 easily.
Top 10 is fair. That's right. I will go with that. But okay. Overall number one pick, I'm not sold on.
Okay. Fair enough.
But the crazy thing
James.
I don't think he's made that much money, but he and his agent, the team manager, I guess, or his manager, they bought the team that he's been playing for in Australia.
Oh,
no financial
really?
Details were revealed, but they own the team. I guess the team had been going through some financial difficulties. He likes playing there and loves the fans. So they now say they own the team.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah, Jermaine Jackson is his manager. No, not one of the Jackson.
Really?
But it does say Jermaine Jackson played 5 seasons in the NBA, along with stops in Italy, Spain, Greece, and elsewhere. He said he expects there to be significant interest from the next generation of American stars in following Ball's footsteps and playing for the team in Australia. So, I mean, I guess if they got the money somehow and they paid for the team, more power to them.
Yeah.
We'll see. And did you also see, by the way, that now it's a thing where people are wanting to figure – they want more information about why NBA teams are going to have their draft headquarters at certain places. And the Saints said yesterday Sean Payton and his staff are going to set up shop at one of the bars that the Benson family owns in New Orleans, and everybody lost their bleeping mind and said, you can't congregate at a bar. You can't have these people. Well, they own a bar that's closed right now because of the fact that we're dealing with the virus. They can set up shop wherever they want. And because it's a big open area and there's multiple levels, you can have guys that can yell down to each other and stuff like that and communicate.
Is that why they're doing it though?
I believe so, yes. Because
did they say that because
there are
concerns, it's a bar and it's open?
Because it's not open. So they can use the space, and it's not, you know, in offices, you still are going to be in pretty close quarters. In a bar or restaurant, it's more spread out, wide open, with less rooms, more levels, so that there might be more people.
It's open as far as the space.
Right. So not surprising for your favorite team, Barry, Saints going to a bar, spreading out. Andy Reid's going to prep in his basement.
Oh, really?
Yeah, number one story right now on ESPN. But the coach readying for the NFL draft is preparing for everything in his basement.
Does he have pants on? That's all I care about.
He does not. He has shorts.
Damn it.
I'm going to retweet this for you. Yeah. No, you guys share it in common. You both like to work in your shorts.
Don't tell me that I look like Andy Reid. That's Nick's job.
Not yet. I think depending on how long this coronavirus lasts, we might have a different picture to talk about later. But for now, I'm going to take your word for it, and you do not look like Andy Reid. Although he does have glasses on and a pretty tight
shut
haircut
out.
These days.
You shut
now,
your
now you
mouth.
Really need to see it. I retweeted it. He said, I wish I could take you on a virtual tour of my basement. It's kind of classic. I'm sitting in my basement, literally. I got an ARC trainer sitting here in case I want to jump on that to get a little exercise. I got my monitor set up along with my computer and my iPod next to that. I've got one of my wife's antique tables here, a little coffee table. I'm throwing everything on that, but I'm in the basement. Yeah. You know what? It's not bad.
That's funny. That's life now. That's like the new normal. It's like, I'm actually using this home office that I've never used in 5 years.
Well, and it's just like we said, too, whether it be radio, television, or even in sports, the new norm is going to be how simplified you can make things and still get by because of what we're dealing with right now. The fact that, you know, we talk about every time we would go on remotes and Nick would, like if we go to Beaumont and Nick's touting all this, you know, toting all this equipment and the board and speakers and all these other things. And now just to communicate back to the station, all we need is some iPads and some good internet.
That's it. I dig it. Other than the delay and the echo. I don't know if it was Nick or your headphones, but I could hear myself. That sounded weird.
Well, we could hear you panting and like you're like speeding up your breath pattern in one of the breaks, and we were a little worried to say something.
Two old farts still having technical difficulties.
No. Well, I think, I don't know, it sounded like I could hear Joel's headphones through his microphone, which wouldn't surprise me. He talks out his ass. He probably talks out his
ears.
Wait
a minute, time out. I wouldn't know till Nick told me, but who's the one having technical difficulties?
Laminac.
Nope.
Yeah, Laminac.
It's because
Nick just
Joel
verified.
Couldn't download an attachment. Barry can't download an app. Let's be real.
Nope. The reason I can't download the app is because I have locked my laptop down so much that anything that tries to alter the kernel doesn't get through. Boom. Suck it. You guys don't even know what a kernel is. You're like, what? What is popcorn?
Yeah, I do. It's KFC. See? That's why you're going to be Andy Reid, because you can get those $5
right
meals, and for $20 you can load up like a buffet without having to go.
That's kernel with a C. I'm talking kernel with a K-E-R-N-A-L.
Look, spelling champ. I got blocked for that.
Boy.
So don't correct my – I didn't ask
I wasn't
how
correcting
to spell
your spelling.
I
was correcting your improper usage of the word kernel. You used the wrong kernel. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Was I panting at the break, really?
Yeah. And it got
I thought I had
more,
my mic off.
It started speeding up, and Nick's like, you good? And I go, nope, it's all you, bro.
I was looking at those pictures of that 50-year-old lady. God.
Kathy Jacobs.
Whatever. Just call her the 50-year-old lady. No one's going to Google Kathy Jacobs.
Well, based on how many people Google anything we say on this show, too many already did. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Finishing up hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza, it will continue next. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Sure enough, I got props from the kids on the hill with my mom and my pops. I came to get down. I came to get down. So get out your seat and jump around.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Houston, hello.
Find new roads and make sure you get that cobbler.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday. Fellas, I don't know if you saw this or not, but interesting. But I think it's the right thing to do. Major League Baseball has said that if there are no games played in 2020, it will not affect the suspensions of A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, that they will have served their time and they will be reinstated even if no games are played. What says you?
Say it again. It got all jittery.
I'm okay with it, but yeah, I know it. But go ahead, Reese.
AJ Hinch and Jeff Luno, even if there's not a game played this year, will have served their suspension, and it will be lifted at the end of the 2020 season, regardless of any games are played or not.
Did they really get suspended if there was no baseball?
I mean, they're still sitting out. They plan to honor
the
suspension.
So is everybody else, though. I mean, my point is if you're going to be suspended from baseball, then there would have to be baseball to be suspended from. So the fact that they said, well, you're suspended for the 2020 season, maybe that's the loophole because, well, there was no 2020 season. So whether there was or there wasn't, we sat out. That's it. But I think the point was to punish them to have to be away from the game while the game is going on. And so this is kind of an odd loophole. And I'm not trying to, you know, burn them at the stake, but I think punishment is punishment. And
if you're going to have to sit out a year because of the fact that they were fired as well has something to do with it. Nope. The fact that because they actually lost their jobs because of the suspension, baseball also sees this and goes, well, they paid the ultimate baseball price regardless.
No, because they could get a job in 2021 and be right back in there. And really, what did they miss? Now,
I'll tell you what they missed. They missed their salaries. They missed their salaries this season because if they were just on suspension, they probably would still get paid.
Is everybody else getting paid? Is everybody else getting paid?
So far.
So all the managers across baseball are getting paid?
So far. That's what we've seen.
Okay. Well, they didn't miss a season. They just missed out. They missed the payday. So I don't know. I think if you're going to punish them and make them miss a season, they need to miss a season. And a season would mean baseball was played on the field. So that's just
okay.
They also did say too. I guess one thing to point out is that if they violate one more time, they are placed on MLB's permanently ineligible list. So they'll be banned for life. So even if they don't serve the suspension in some people's eyes and they come back and they violate, they can't violate again. When there's other players and managers that perhaps would have been given a few more chances, but because of the, I guess, the egregious nature of their cheating, you know, one more strike and they're gone.
Well, that again brings us back to the whole Red Sox debacle, because everybody seems to think there's a ruling. Everybody, including the Red Sox lawyers, are already speaking out saying they disagree with the ruling, but we don't know what that ruling is. So we don't know if Alex Cora is going to get that type, because we said all along, if he participated with the Astros and then participated with the Red Sox, that seems to be even more severe because he egregiously not only did it with one team, he did it with two teams, but we don't know what those punishments are. So that's another thing where baseball just needs to step up and get their bleep together. And regardless of whether they're playing games or not, you can at least get that ruling out of the way. In fact, because they said they can only concentrate on one team at a time to investigate, and there were multiple teams that they were told about, they could actually get moving on to another team and get the information out on the Red Sox.
I do find it a bit interesting that they won't come out with more details. But at the same time, I'm trying to keep it in perspective as to what's really important right now. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're busy doing other stuff, but it wouldn't seem as such since there's no baseball going on. I don't know. I do want to see, but I don't think there's some conspiracy with the league. Do you? Do you think that the league is purposefully not showing us what's going on?
I don't think they're very proud of everything, and they're worried about the image of the overall sport. And I think that they realize that if the Red Sox rulings came out to be as bad or worse than the Astros, that they would have a much bigger issue on their hands in terms of the overall integrity of the sport, the marketability of the sport, and everything that they're after. So I think all along, even when we heard when baseball was up and getting to training camp, we heard a week. Then we heard, ruling will be in 2 weeks. Well, they kept pushing it back.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. If they're worried about integrity, then don't you think the worst thing they could do is either hide it or delay it or not bring any wrongdoings by the Red Sox to the forefront?
I think that's what they've done.
Now,
I think to this point they've hit it as best as they could and delayed it, just like you said, and delayed it as long as they could. And now, pandemic going on, they've missed their own deadlines multiple times, and now they're still buying even more time to where when the sport actually hopefully gets back to playing games again, we don't know if we'll ever get – maybe by then they'll have a ruling, but people are going to be so giddy that baseball's back, they're probably not going to focus on it as hard. And the last thing they want is to have a bad report come out on the Red Sox then and get right back and drag the whole league back into the mud.
Well, that may be the last thing they want, but the truth is the truth. And if you try to cover it up or hide it or minimize it, you're basically – this whole point of integrity is out the window because you're part of the problem now.
No, I don't see it that way. But I just think that Manfred – I think he thought in the way he handled the Astros situation that – his ruling was going to be enough. No one was going to question what was in his report. They were just the Astros were going to accept everything that was handed down and that everybody was going to move forward, you know, hunky dory. And instead, everybody obviously has picked holes in everything and some, you know, justifiably so. And when they found out that the players weren't going to face any punishment, that obviously started everybody on kind of this whole mission to try and, you know, rip this whole system apart and figure out what the hell actually really did happen. And they don't want any more of this. So that's why I can't, you know, we used to say on the show, when is the Red Sox ruling? Because we had someone that was tweeting us every day or texting us every day. And it's like, yeah, that gets a little bit much, but so is the fact that I think the league is trying to hide it.
Okay. I mean, I'm naive. I just don't feel like that's the case, but maybe I'm naive.
Okay. No, I mean, fair enough. It's just, you know, I think the Astros have done their time in terms of taking as much punishment as they had to take when that we know that there was at least one, if not several more teams that cheated in some way, shape, or form, that this whole delay and stoppage of the game right now has done a lot for the league as a whole to kind of try and distance themselves from all of this negativity. But it's coming back at some point. What the Astros are kind of irritated by is we know we did it, but we also know there were other teams that did. But it seems like right now we're just kind of left hung out to dry to take all of it on our shoulders alone.
Well, okay, but that doesn't – I guess you can't be like, well, look, if we weren't the only ones that cheated, then everyone else needs to suffer with us. I think everyone else should be punished if they cheated, but – don't try to minimize your
trials and tribulations
that you have to go through because somebody else did it too.
But I'm saying, though, just like, you know, look, even with you talk about – I'm trying to give you the best example I can. And unfortunately, the Joe Exotic example is once he got nailed, then he wanted to bring everybody else down with him. But, you know, misery loves company. But I think from an Astros perspective, they want everybody else that did even – remnants of what they did, not trying to clear their name in any way, shape, or form, but they want the other teams that did similar things to have to face similar consequences, because the money is one thing. They lost draft picks. They obviously have been, you know, taken a beating in the media and otherwise, and they don't want to be the only team just dangling in the wind with this label on them.
That's just for selfish reasons, though, because they don't want to be the only ones that are, you know, getting booed and having mean things said about them, but I don't know.
But Barry, you can say that's for selfish reasons, but then you look at it from a front office perspective of the league. The league doesn't want it because they know it's diminishing the value of the brand overall.
But again, if that's the case, and even if I agreed with you, that's still, what does that say about the integrity of the commissioner's office? If they're like, well, you know, let's crap on the Astros and say how awful they are, but let's not bring the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Dodgers into this because that could be bad. Well, you know what? It's bad enough with the Astros. If these other teams did it, guess what? You have a bigger problem on your hands. Clean up baseball. Don't just single out the Astros. But at the same time, if you're the Astros, you can't be like, hey, guys, y'all come get some of this punishment with us. You did the crime. Do your time. Get in trouble. Get booed. Have mean things said about you. That's what happens to cheaters. What the Red Sox did has nothing to do with the fact that you cheated.
I'll be honest with you, Bill. It's simple. It's just business. Business, pure business, from the standpoint of the NBA with the Tim Donaghy thing, with the NFL, with the Patriots cheating and all the different scandals that they went through. Every league commissioner and his front office wanted to try to downplay that as much as possible to save the value, marketability, and sales opportunities for the league. And whether that's selfish or not, that's the way these leagues are thinking, because it's one thing to say that there was one official in the NBA, but if you find out there were five, then you got a bigger issue on your hands, because now people are wondering if the games and the outcomes are legit at all, and then they lose interest. Whereas if you can just put it all on one guy's shoulders or one team's shoulders, then it's easier to say it's not the sport's problem. It's just one team. It's one specific incident.
We're going in a circle because I still disagree with you, because okay, it's fine. The same thing. You still have a fundamental problem throughout the league by only pointing it out once and trying to cover up the rest. Now you're part of the problem as the league. So it doesn't, I mean, whether it's the NBA and refs or the baseball and teams cheating, the league trying to minimize it or cover it up or not bring them all to light is just as bad as the cheaters. So I don't see why they would do that and risk getting caught. Now, maybe they're just dumbasses like the Astros were, but that's a big risk. If, like you said, if it is just business, that's a big risk for your business.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to chime in, 713-780-3776, join the discussion. Get in here with us. You can text that number. You can call that number. That's our HR&P listener line. You can also reach us via Twitter, and we'll continue the dialogue. Lots more to get to on The Usual Suspects on a Thursday. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. A lot of you guys are out there, and you realize with all this time on your hands, you don't have the energy you once had. Maybe you want to spend more time with your family. Maybe you want to get out and start working out again. Maybe for one reason or another, it's not happening for you in the bedroom like it once did, and you're wondering where you find the answers and how can you do it discreetly. Well, I'm telling you, the people at Apollo Men's Health are here to help. They're like friends or family. They're going to keep everything basically below the radar. You walk in, you don't want to be in the lobby, you don't want to be seen. They'll put you in a room inside the facility to where they can discuss things with you one-on-one, and you never have to deal with anything that makes you uncomfortable. But bottom line is, no matter what you do from the time you walk in the door, they're going to be compassionate, they're going to listen, and they're going to give you results. In addition to traditional testosterone therapy, they also have cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy that reduces the amount of time you actually have to visit the facility, but still maintains your overall wellness in a more convenient way. They also offer body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy, and everything that they do is centered around increasing your overall quality of life. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Call 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com. You can book your first appointment online. Most major insurance is accepted, and discounts are available for military personnel and first responders. Check them out, Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.